Throughout the Easter season, and indeed throughout the entire church year to this point, our worship has been focused on celebrating the mighty acts of God, those words and deeds of God that are the very foundation of our Christian faith, our faith that God created us and all that is, our faith that God in Christ lived and died and lived again in order to heal and redeem us because of God's great love for us and for all creation. Our faith that by the gift of God's holy and life-giving Spirit, God is still at work in our world, right here and right now, bringing to perfection the sanctification of our lives and indeed the life of God's entire creation. But on this particular Sunday, our focus turns from reflecting upon the doing of God, if you will, to reflect instead upon the very being of God. And Christian tradition has long expressed its understanding of God's being through the doctrine of the Trinity, a church teaching which proclaims that while we believe in only one God, we believe God is a trinity of three distinct persons who are co-equal and co-eternal, existing and acting in communion and completeness with one another from before time and forever. And I'm sure you'll concur that figuring out the whole Russia meddling in the U.S. election thing is child's play when compared to figuring out the Trinity, which is something I've sometimes described as being like trying to explain to a one-armed blind man how to solve a Rubik's Cube. And so I'm sure that Beth is quite happy to be in Vancouver this week, leaving me to preach on the Trinity this year. And I was reminded the other day of the story of a preacher who began his Trinity Sunday sermon by saying, "There is so much about the Trinity I could say that I don't know where to start." And from the back of the church, a voice was heard, "Start as close to the end as possible." From the very beginning of time, humans have sought to know and to name God, and yet have had to acknowledge that comprehending God fully is clearly beyond the limits of our human capacity. But in our modern and technologically advanced societies, people have sadly become impatient with what they might call religious abstractions and skeptical of spiritual mysteries. And as a result of this, many have come to feel and even suggest that the doctrine of the Trinity is really little more than an elaborate and fanciful fabrication of a bunch of third century theologians who clearly had little better to do with their time. But I disagree. And I disagree not simply because I grew up in a parish that was called Trinity Church and studied divinity at Trinity College, but because I believe that the doctrine of the Trinity actually does express a conception of the mystery of God's being that is founded in the very life experience of God's people throughout history. Scripture is filled with stories of human encounters with the divine, stories that reflect and resonate, I would submit, with our own holy encounters. We have all experienced that sense of what might be called the God beyond us, if you will, when we've stood perhaps in awe of the vastness of the universe or of the beauty and order of creation. And we have all also experienced, I would suspect, that sense of what might be called the God amongst us, as we have met and been moved by the very presence of Christ in the compassion and courage of the members of Christ's body, our brothers and sisters in the faith. And we have likewise all experienced that sense of the God within us when we have felt the presence or push of the Spirit's embrace, comforting us or correcting us or calling us forward. And so while I'm prepared to admit that the doctrine of the Trinity is certainly abstract and mysterious, I also remain convinced that it's actually an expression of truth. A truth that comes from the lived experience of God beyond us, God among us, and God within us. Or as the Christian community has expressed it for nearly two millennia, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And although some of us may not be entirely comfortable with the somewhat mustiness or markedly masculine character of this doctrinal language, These or any other words that we might proffer or prefer in their place will always, by necessity, be limited and incomplete. God the parent, God the child, God the loving, God the author, God the story, God the telling. Or, as I personally have often contemplated the mystery of the Trinity in my own spiritual reflections, in terms of giving. Because for me at least, God is all at once the giver, the gift, and the act of giving. In creation, God gave us and all that we are. In Christ, God gave us God in order that we might somehow be saved from our selfishness and sin. And in the Spirit, God gives us the power to not only give ourselves and all that we are back to God, but also to share it and God with one another and with the world. And however it is that we make sense of these ideas and words, to speak of the Trinity, the one God who is made known to us as creator of all and redeeming Christ and life-giving Spirit, is to use a shorthand way of expressing the depths of our faith in the truth of God. Because without this notion of the Trinity holding us accountable, if you will, we might be tempted to worship a one-dimensional deity, whereas this fuller view of God expressed as Trinity lifts up an idea and an experience of God that is more than just the God of the Big Bang Theory, who started the universe and left it to run on its own. Because we do not worship a process, but a provider who continues to create and to move in our very midst. And it's God's work in Jesus Christ that's perhaps the best evidence of God's continuing creative and redeeming work among us and even despite us. And so the Trinity, in a sense, gives language to our strongest belief that our God is not merely a God of history, performing mighty acts only in Bible times, but rather a powerful and on-the-move God of the present and of the future. That's what the Trinity wants us to believe in our heart of hearts. And while we might wonder how this is all possible, we need not seek to fully understand it, nor apologize for not being able to explain the mysteries of God. What we do need to be able to do is to express and bear witness in the lived-out language of our lives and in ways that are articulate and faithful what it is that God has done amongst us in the past, what it is that God is doing right now in our midst and through our mission and ministry, and what it is that God promises will be accomplished in God's future and by God's grace. This is the witness of Scripture, a witness that we are called to proclaim with our lives. In today's reading from the Old Testament, we heard the very opening words of the book of Genesis, words that remind us that in the beginning there was God, the creative power of God that lay beyond the universe, the mighty breath of God that hovered over the waters of creation, and the spoken word of God that called life and light into existence. In our gospel lesson this morning, Matthew recounts the final appearance of Jesus following the resurrection, as Jesus commands the disciples to go into all the world and to teach and baptize in the name of this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the final three verses of his second letter to the church in Corinth, St. Paul appeals to the Corinthians to heal any divisions or discord among them and to live in peace and faithful witness with one another and with all God's saints. And the church in every time and place continues to need to hear and heed Paul's call to live and work together in the grace of Christ and in the love of God and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so may that be our prayer and purpose on this Trinity Sunday and always. And as we gather around the Lord's table this morning to be nourished and strengthened in our faith and in our faithfulness, may we each be renewed in our communion with the Holy Trinity, as children of God, as members of Christ, as living temples of the Holy Spirit, And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.